Good morning, friends. This morning, I'd like to talk about the importance of Dharma teachers in Buddhist life. All of you should have important people in your own lives. They are your families, relatives, and friends. And you would add one more person to be grateful to. That is your teacher. When you attended elementary and high schools many years ago, you received guidance and support from the teachers. Without them, your school education might have been difficult. In Buddhist life, teachers are very important. Known as Kalyana Mitra in Sanskrit and Zen Jishiki in Japanese, Dharma teachers are the ones who convey Buddhist teachings to you. Do you still remember your Dharma teachers who helped you learn the wisdom and compassion of Amida Buddha? And do you sometimes become grateful to those teachers? There is a beautiful poem about the Dharma transmitted from one person to another. It reads, I quote, "Just as light of a candle spreads from one candle to another in succession, the Buddha Dharma spreads from one person to another endlessly." End quote. In this poem, you are a candle and you receive the light from another candle. This candle was the Dharma teacher. You live in the Dharma today, and your Dharma was taught to you by the Dharma teacher. At the Honganji temple that you attend on Sunday, there have been people, ministers and lay members, who have lit the light of the Dharma in your heart. Let us continue in earnest to find out among people those who have sharing the teachings with us. When I think of my own Dharma teachers in Japan and in Hawaii, I find that there is one fundamental spirit in their guidance. That is to share the compassionate vow of Amida Buddha that has already been completed. Amida's compassionate heart is not something that is directed to you if you say Namo Amida Butsu in front of the altar. It is the heart of compassion that was already completed to be heard and acknowledged by each of us. Namo Amida Butsu is a calling of Amida Buddha telling us to be with us in happiness or unhappiness, and to liberate us from suffering and sorrow. The moment that is uttered in Shin faith, it assures us to attain birth in Buddha land of peace. This completion of Amida's compassionate vow is described in the volume 2 of the Raja Sutra. It reads, I quote, "All sentient beings, having heard the name, entrust themselves and rejoice in one thought moment. This is the result of the sincere mind of Amida Buddha. If they aspire to be born in that land, they will attain new birth and reside in the stage of non-retrogression." End quote. In short, these words of Shakyamuni Buddha in the Sutra tells us to hear Amida's calling voice, which tells us not to worry about our humanness, and to entrust ourselves in one thought moment. What is it like that we just hear and say the name of Amida and rejoice in it in our interpersonal relationships? May I share with you how I learned to hear and say the name of Amida Buddha through the guidance of one of my Dharma teachers. It was in the summer of 1986, my family and I went to Hiroshima. One of the purposes was to see my former homeroom teacher, Mr. Muneaki Kagawa, at his temple in the outskirts of Hiroshima City. I wanted to thank the sensei for his special guidance that I received when I was in elementary school. I enrolled at the Hiroshima University Lab School in 1947, and Kagawa sensei taught my homeroom for 4 years. He loved his students. He treated us equally. 1 year, Kagawa sensei had a headache, which was to take care of bad behaviors among several boys. The 3 to 4 boys started to tease one girl who had an unfortunate body odor. This girl was raised by her father, who owned a grocery store, who did not have enough time to bathe her. Soon, the girl got ukus in her hair and she became smelly. So, the boys began to poke the girl's head and it became a little bit more violent. Kagawa sensei asked the girl's father to give him time to check the cause of the boy's behavior. As a young educational researcher, Kagawa sensei studied this case and found out its cause. The 3 to 4 boys got pressured from the students of other homerooms, so they turned into their own homeroom and picked on one girl. Kagawa sensei started to tell the whole class to love and respect each other. Soon, this case was settled by Kagawa sensei's guidance. But I remembered this incident for a number of years, and I thought that the boys were wrong. Now, when I met Kagawa sensei in Hiroshima in 1986, I asked him about this case. I said, "Sensei, several boys in your homeroom gave the girl a bad time. That was almost bullying. Sensei, why did the boys do that?" Kagawa sensei looked into my eyes gently and said, "Muneto-san, you were one of those boys." That comment was totally unexpected because I thought I had been a good boy. But I was able to accept the sensei's remark. And in his alarming remark, I noticed his understanding, love, and forgiveness. So, in reply, I said, "Was that right? I'm very sorry." In my apology, there was a sense of gratitude to the sensei. So I was saying in my heart, "Thank you, sensei." This short dialogue resonates with the meaning of completion of Amida's compassionate vow. When I heard Kagawa sensei calling me that I was one of the Kolohe boys, I acknowledged his love and concern. In those words, I heard the name of Amida, Namo Amida Butsu. Buddhism teaches that blind desire is a cause of suffering, but Amida Buddha has resolved this problem. So I said, "Sensei, sorry for causing the trouble." Knowing the case was settled, I said in my heart, "Thank you." That was my saying of Namo Amida Butsu. Amida's compassionate vow that is heard and trusted and deeply thanked, sheds its light in the human problems of prejudice, conflicts and violence that we are facing in America today. Let us try to find out among our families, friends, and temple members, the Dharma teachers who share the teaching of Onenbutsu with us. Let us constantly reflect on the completion of Amida's vow and say and receive the Nenbutsu in gratitude and joy. Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu.